A lech Hashem nafshi yisol. David Melech again says to you, Akadosh Baruch Hu, I lift up my soul. So again, there's two. I'm sorry. What do you mean?
This paragraph.
What do you mean by that?
This is what happened. This paragraph.
You say it in Tachnun Monday, Thursday, or every day?
No, every day.
Really? I didn't know that.
You started him.
Your mom is a different religion.
I read them. The original.
The original paragraph. Really?
And
of course.
And you know, bumped it up somehow. Like,
some sorority did it. Ashkenazim were like, heck no. No, no.
I had to change something, so we stopped doing it. You guys kept doing it, but changed the way you said it.
Changed the wording.
Yeah.
David, Eleka to you, Hashem, now she has thought. So here's the shot. David Melech made this tehillim for two reasons. Number one, to get a kapara for his sins. And number two, to daven for the rest of Klal Yisrael, for everybody in Klal Yisrael. I'm saying, Eleka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to you. No intermediary, nothing in between. I'm not having to do a malach and somebody to bring up the tefillah toward you or a big tzaddik or whatever it is. I'm asking to go straight to you, right? That you will listen to my prayers and not from anybody else.
He's the king, he's a nothing, he's whatever you want to call him. What's so novel about that?
By David HaMelech, but he's saying that everyone should daven that way. That everyone should daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is if they have the ear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, it is reality when it comes to Hashem. It's not reality when it comes to the President of the United States, you know, for me, to the President of the United States. But it's reality when it comes to Hashem. And that's what he's saying. Eilecha nafshiyasa, I would always want to do that, and that's how it should go.
Yeah, but think of it the other way. David asked the Kohen to ask the Urim and Thummim what to do in certain situations.
Like, okay, that's a good call. There were like, times where getting a nevuah, forcing an answer from God, was different. But my tefillah, in which I'm asking not for something specific, but more in general terms of what I need in my lifetime, right, that's that. If I'm asking for a specific question right then, that's a higher level of usage of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Like, that's audacious to be able to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need an answer now. That's something that's a little too much. Then you need an intermediary. But say in a general term, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is what I want, this is what I need, I think that's still okay. And that's what he's saying that people should be able to have over here. Now, the idea is, oh, you're right. Because I'll say that this present, this pasuk should be said before Nefilas Sapayim based on the Zohar, right? But I don't know if there's any other pasuk. It's all the pasuk that you guys say? You guys say the whole tale? The whole parak. Unbelievable. That's interesting. Well, you should know all the, also, by the way, in this tehillim, it's all in the aleph phase. There's the aleph phase all the way through. We're going to see everything goes through. Elokai b'chol atachni is obviously the aleph. There's three letters that are missing. Three letters that are missing are bays, vav, and kuf. Bays, vav, and kuf.
The word elokai.
I'm sorry?
There's elokai b'chol. There's a bet after the aleph.
Is that aleph and bays?
Maybe. What's the other one?
That's interesting. Vav and kuf. Okay, but the vav is everywhere. I don't know if we're going to go
through it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. What do you got for that?
It's the Abraham Mizrahi.
So, oh, so you have this. You have Vayavor Hashem. You go through that. Interesting. Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Oh, they don't even have Har Tachanun at all. No kuf. He says there's two rashes over here. Now, Vok could be referring to Gehenna. Vok is Buka, which is the letter of a person who's that he should be saved from Gehenna if he says this. Vok also means emptiness and desolation, right? That you should be saved from such a thing, that you should be utterly emptied completely, so to speak. Stuff like that. Fine. New. Alokai Bekovatalti, I trust in you, Ale Bosha. I will not be ashamed of you. I leave. Do not let my enemies triumph over me. To what can this be compared? What a muscle. A man was found wandering about at night, and the city wardens were about to arrest him. Leave me be, he shouted. I'm a son of the king's daughter. Grandson of the king. Next morning, they brought him before the king and said that they found him wandering the streets at night. He's not the son of my daughter, said the king. He's not my grandson. When they asked the man why he had lied, he said, when I saw that they wanted to arrest me, in order to save myself, I purposely told them that I was your grandson. The king turned to the wardens. Leave him be. I don't want to be humiliated for having put his trust in me. I don't know if I would have done that if I was a king. I would say he just lied, dude. But regardless, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So too, David HaMelech is saying here, I trust you. Even though I don't deserve to be your grandson, your child, so to speak, I still put my trust in you that you'll help me whatever I have. Yeah, what do you have?
If you do a reverse, it's true love, but that is
cove.
And you want to keep the reverse out of the
You don't need the vote for that, though, because cove is actually spelled cove.
Like, you know, it's an extra.
Okay, that's true. Big cold. Gam cold kovat. Who's darshaning now? I'm just saying. Gam cold kovat the layivoshu. Those who hope toward you will never be ashamed. Yivoshu abokdim reikam. The people will be ashamed. Those who hope or they're betraying for no good reason or go against everything whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. Tchonia Maago actually said that. How could you allow me to get absolutely nothing? How could that be? There's an unbelievable allow. This is what people should do in their tefillos in order to be answered. When somebody asks you to daven for them, you say it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know I don't have the power to do so, but he doesn't know that. He's asking me to help because he thinks that I learn Torah or that I daven and that I have more of a connection to you. So allow my tefillah to be answered in the schus of the bitachon of that guy that a Talmid Chacham should be answered. Even though I know I'm not. Who cares? A Talmid Chacham should be answered, and that's right. He thinks I am, so allow it to be through that. That's the idea behind it. Tell me your ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, teach me all of your lines and how it goes. Now you should know, Rav told this to Rabba Bar Chana. Rabba Bar Chana had two porters, right, who were taking his stuff from one place to the other. They broke the barrels that they were bringing from one place to the other for Rabba Bar Chana. So Rabba Bar Chana didn't want to pay them. So they turned to Rav, right, and not only did he not want to pay them, sorry, he made them pay for the barrels that they had broken, which makes sense, right? They came to Rav and they said, listen, we're poor porters. We can't afford to pay for the barrels that we broke. Rav's like, you're in the wrong line of business. Rav turned to Rav of Arkana and says, let them be. He said, Dina Hachi? Is that the din? Right, the halakha is, I get to ask my money back. And he said, allow it to be Orach V'Yashar, it should be in a good way. Then they turned to Rav and they said, listen, we're poor people. We didn't make any money today. We expected to make money off Rav of Arkana. No, he didn't have whatever. It's unbelievable. Rav turned to Rav Arkana and said, pay them anyway. So Rav Arkana's like, what? And Rav paid them anyway. That does remind me of a line with Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha one time had his wife brought material to be used to make into a wedding dress to a tailor. And as the tailor was making the wedding dress, he sighed. And Rav Zusha's wife said, what are you sighing for? And he said, you know, my daughter's also getting married and I can't afford to have such good material for my daughter's wedding. So she said, take it. It's yours. I don't want it. So the tailor's like, really? You don't have to tell me twice. And like kept the dress, right? So she came home. Seriously, that's what you have with the gemas. But she came home and she told her husband, look what I just did. I gave the material over to, you know, to the tailors or whatever. She said, did you pay her? Did you pay him? She said, what do you mean pay him? I gave him the dress. Yeah, but he worked on your dress thinking that he was making money off it. You have to pay him for the dress. She had to go back and pay him for the dress that he wore from... It's unbelievable. Crazy. But that's the line. Guide me in your truth and teach me. You are God of my salvation. Also, you are the one that I hope for every day. I think that's a Shalshalah song in some way. Remember, of your rachamim and your chesed, because they have always been, they have been of old. Okay, you raise me, you allow me to continue, you should continue to have mercy on me completely. Chatos neurai v'shai al tzizkor, do not remember the sins of my youth and my transgressions. In other words, the chatos neurai, obviously, things that I didn't realize were wrong back then. In tishai, listen, I was a young kid, I made mistakes, and I did things that were on purpose. I rebelled against you, because, you know, high schoolers and most people who are teenagers have no ability to think straight. Kechastikos hor liato, according to your chesed, remember me, please. Lamant tuv kashem, in order for your goodness to be go through. Yeah, once in a while, but I don't think it's possible. There's no brain. Either way, but David calls it like that. They're immature sins. There's no way that he can end up doing it. There's nothing I can do. And by the way, yes, as you tell high schoolers all the time, it's not your fault that you made bad decisions. You don't have a brain. It's just not there. The whole lobe is missing. It's all gone. It's not your fault. The Malbim says that your compassions refer to the perfection of every organ that a man has, that everything is used in the proper fashion and everything, it fulfills its appropriate function. Your kindnesses refer to the power of the intellect, the seichel and understanding. That's how the Malbim puts it. Tov Yashar Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu is good and upright. Al kein yorech atayim b'darach. Therefore, he instructs sinners in that way. Interesting thing over here. There are two different kinds of benefactors, two people who give tzedakah. Some will do so, right, because they're good by nature and always looking out for the other person's welfare. Other people help because they can't bear to see the suffering of the poor and the needy. The difference between kingdom is when they have to perform a painful operation on the person that's ill. The one who's good by nature will not hesitate to perform the operation, since his whole purpose is just to benefit the patient. The person that needs help, he's willing to give it, you know, in the same way. But the guy who only does it in order to remove his own discomfort, to make himself feel better, so this is not going to make him feel any better. When you have to cut off a leg, you're cutting off a leg, you don't feel good about that. So you don't want to do that at all times. That's not as awesome. Same idea of the Rachamim being allowed for an ear miklat, for some type of ear miklat. Yadrei Chanavim HaMishpat, he guides the humble people in judgment, the Laminin of Narko. He teaches the humble in all of his ways. He tells them anivus and how they go through. Kol Orchos Hashem Chesed Ba'emes, all the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled with Chesed Emes, L'notzer Bris HaBeidosa, for those who keep his bris and those who keep his mitzvos as well. The idea behind it is, if you really wanted to have whatever you need in this world, everything will come easily to you. If your life is all about just getting what you need, not what you want, but what you need, you will have an easy time doing everything you need inside this world. Unfortunately, if you want to do something, you want to get luxuries, you want to get extra stuff, that's when you have to work hard. That's when it becomes. But just needing what you need of bread, water, like little things, you can get that easily. If a person really wanted to live, you know, off of a stipend from the government, what the government gives you, right, and just have food stamps and whatever else they give you with medical insurance, etc., you can live. There will be absolutely no problem. But you won't be able to go to Shell's for sushi. That you won't be able to do. So you got to make your decision. Are you going to be able to do that? Are you going to be able to survive that way? But you can do it. There's no question. The amount of tzedakah that our government gives, well, if only Bernie was in charge, but the amount of tzedakah that our government gives is way, way more than what most people need. What most people need. It's when you want something that takes it to the next level. So for your name, for your the sake of your name, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zlatko Olamiki Rabu, and you should forgive my sin because it is so immense. Not really because, even though it is so immense, although the word ki definitely means the word because. It may be, it's an immense sin. It means my debt, and nonetheless you should forgive me. Hashem, who is this man that fears God, who God will instruct in the way that he chooses. Who is the man that allows himself to be led in the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants him to go? He allows his soul to abide, to live in prosperity, in goodness. And his children will always inherit the earth and stuff like that. That his children will have enough to be able to survive on their own. While the secrets of God remain for those who fear him. His covenant is for anyone who wants to know it. The bris, people can know. Right, you do what you need to do, and that's that. But the sodos, the secrets of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sod of the Torah, right? Sod Hashem Lireyev, that only goes to those who fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not even fear, those who are in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an interesting call. The malachim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu have a pure awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they don't have pshat in the Torah, because pshat is impossible by them. They don't have parents that keep it of the aim. They don't have a day of work in which they could have Shabbat. The concept of pshat is impossible by them. But the sodos HaTorah are what they have that allows them to understand the Torah in a completely different light. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's argument to them. We at least can build ourselves up to sod, but you guys don't even have pshat. That's the famous line in Shabbos on Pei Tes, when he grabs onto the Kisei HaKavod and he says, do you guys have other gods that you could worship? Do you guys have parents that you have to honor? Do you have a day of work in which you have to have Shabbos? Do you have any issue of murder, any issue of adultery, etc.? What's the pshat? Well, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? What, the Malachim didn't know that? Obviously the Malachim knew that. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is that they don't have the pshat of the Torah. They're missing one quarter of the Torah itself that is impossible for them to get because they don't live in the Olam HaMaisa. That's the idea of what he was trying to say, the concept over here.
So pshat is Olam HaMaisa, I just wanted to clarify.
One of the four.
No.
One of the four, yes.
The Olam HaMaisa.
Yes. Okay. The lowest level.
The practical level.
Practical maybe, but lowest. Einai Tamid, I shouldn't even say that. It's possible that pshat is higher than everything else as well. Einai Tamid El Hashem, my eyes are continuously looking out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He'll bring my feet out from the snare itself. I'm always looking up. And that's the idea. When a person, and the LA says, it's really funny to think about, when a person's staring up at the sky looking at the heavens, he will always stumble on what's on the earth. He's going to forget everything that's right there. Einai Tamid El Hashem, and he will take
take me out from the traps of my feet. I will stare up at a Kodesh Baruch Hu and be tachon, and I won't trip on the ground as I'm walking through that way. That's the idea behind it. Even though I'm in worship, that's going to be there. Chazal say that this refers to the Yetzer Hara, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu will take me away from the Yetzer Hara, and I don't have to worry about whatsoever. It also refers to Sanhedrin. Whenever David HaMelech wanted to kill someone, he always discussed it with Sanhedrin first. I have no idea where that's from, because in essence, how did he know to kill Uriah Chiti? Did he go to Sanhedrin or not? But did he ask Sanhedrin to do so? And otherwise, I don't know anybody else who David HaMelech killed. David HaMelech waited to kill Yoav and Shimi ben Gera until after his death. He told Shlomo HaMelech to do it.
He killed the Amaleki king, telling that Shaul died.
Oh, that's a good call. He killed Amaleki. Who else did he kill? The two people who told him about the death of Shaul, who took Shaul Melech's head. No, there was Gera Maleki told him that he killed him, and then they had Ishbosheth's head. The two people cut off Ishbosheth's head and brought it over to him. Reina and Bana and Rechav, whatever their names are. Right? He killed them as well. You're right. So did he go to Sanhedrin first? Where does it say that? Well, that we don't see in the Psukim.
Where does it say Sanhedrin anywhere until it goes on?
The Einayim. The Einayim. Always
right.
The Einayim.
Already,
no, but Ena Aida refers to a people.
Does that refer to a judicial?
Sanhedrin. I don't think a Hebrew word, is it?
No, it's Greek.
Yeah, it makes sense. It would have been the Zakenim. What do we call the Shivim Zakenim? Shivim Zakenim. Avosko would be the original source, right? That's when he made the Shivim Zakenim. Pnei Elai V'Chaneni, turn to me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and give me favor, Yachid V'Aniyani, because I'm alone and I'm afflicted and I need to help myself, control my passions and be against. So does love your Hebrew, the troubles of my heart, your Hebrew. Widened, they become so many moons. And bring me out from all of my distress, from all the problems of Ere'e. Look at my affliction, look at all my toil of a Selah, and forgive me for all the sins that I've been involved whatsoever. It's absolutely unbelievable. There's a Medrash that says that David Melech reckoned all the days that he had had in his feasts, all the feasts that he had made, and he donated that sum to the Beis HaMikdash, for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt, or to be built, I should say. Right? He donated that sum. That's the idea. You saw everything that saw the whole upside. Forgive me, and that should be my kapara by giving over to the Beis Mikdash. See how my enemies are many, and how they hate me with a very violent hatred, and how much they despise me. This is interesting, by the way. I don't know when this is referring to. Is this referring to the beginning when he's still running away from Shaul? Is this toward the end of his life without Shalom? Or is this right in the middle where I don't know how many enemies he possibly had? Maybe Plishim, Amon, Moav, like those people. But you wouldn't think there's many others. Keep my soul in. And save me, don't let me be embarrassed because I've taken refuge in you. Let my perfection and my straightness, let that preserve me, because I wait for you, and therefore you should save God, me, all Bnei Yisrael, from all of their pains. That's interesting. Why is there a pay at the very, very end? I mean, if you're going through the Aleph phase, what's the point of adding on the pay at the very end? I mean, obviously it's a good line, but look, it's Shomikol Avanos, Mikol Sarosa, but the whole thing is an Aleph phase. Why would it end with this?
Because it's like a coming up of
Tav. No, for sure, but why not do another Tav? You know what I'm saying? Like, it can't be that hard. What are you going to say? No,
it's like a mantra or something.
No, I mean, it could be. It seems strange.
Rashi says the enemies are. So the Plishtim, Adam.
Yeah, Moab. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, all the people outside. Because it couldn't be the Jews. I mean, in the middle of his reign, there weren't so many enemies that the king had. Right? Most of them had been killed by Yoav. Right? So that would be strange. All right.
We had another fuss with this.
You do by Yom Rav Dov God?
Yeah.
That's at the end of one of these two came right over here.
Yeah, we already did that one. Did we get that?
I believe that's something called himself his cup. Yeah, that makes sense. The Dovish, Hashem Hashem Ki Anibis to me Alati. Judge me, Hashem, because I walked in perfection. Hashem Batati Lo Amod. I trust in God and I will not fail. Let's stop there for a second. Hold on. Seriously? David HaMelech is saying, judge me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I walked in perfection. I didn't do anything wrong. Now, agreed. David HaMelech was a tzaddik beyond recognition. According to the Balatan, Tanya, David HaMelech never had a sin to his name. That's an unbelievable line, that he had killed his Yetzer Hara to the point where he couldn't do anything bad. And that's what I'm saying. But we know what happened with Bathsheba. We know what happened with Uriah Chiti. We know he was Mekabel Lashon Hara. The Gemara in Shabbos Nidheim Abiz does say, Kol Omer David Kata Enu El
Atoya. That's referring to one of here in particular.
Yeah. Well, the Gemara goes through three things, because it says, what's the fate? And it says those.
Is that referring to his, like, his entire
legacy,
life,
so to speak? And so too when it comes to counting B'nai Yisrael. Counting B'nai Yisrael. He called the Divrei Torah Zmiros Hayu Lichu Kata. There are many things that if you wanted to look at David Melech's life, you could say, in our mind, it looks like something wrong. And look at what David Melech says. Look at what he says. Judge me. Judge me. I did everything perfectly. How could you say that if you weren't assured in yourself?
It doesn't always mean perfect, but to me it means, like,
in my innocence.
Yeah, meaning like, I it's not necessarily.
That bothers me even more that you just killed a person. That you just. Meaning, everything he did can not only be explained, but I feel it was done as if a tum did it. It could be explained even as a simpleton.
No, meaning, in my simplicity, I believe that. I think it was right.
No, then you wouldn't ask somebody to judge you. Because you'll be in for a big surprise.
No, because everybody's judged at their level. He's saying at the level that I was, the acts that I took, I might have been wrong, but I did it with the right intentions. I did it with what I believe to be correct.
It's hard to say it from this topic.
What?
Are you just a judge?
Well, yeah,
the reason why.
Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. I just don't think you would say this, and especially at the end of Hashem Batachti Lo Amad. I won't fail. I just don't think it would be that.
In general, like, there are a lot of stories they use. You never ask to be judged. You never bring about the...
Correct. I would think that this is obvious over here. There are so many things that I would question David HaMelech on, and clearly David HaMelech felt there is no issue here. So in one way, you can look at it and say that obviously we are misreading what David HaMelech did. Yeah, what do you have?
Meaning, I should not be judged. When you judge the Rishayim, judge me. The three are Rishayim and Tzadik. Compared to them, I'm a Tzadik. Compared to them, I'm a
Interesting. And that's not the line. That's not what the Balatani would say. Obviously, it's Rashi, right? The Balatani would say there was no such thing.
But that's also interesting. Like, when does God ever judge somebody compared to somebody else? Mm-hmm. Everyone's always judged compared to them.
That's also strange. All right. There is a line that's learned out from over here. The Medrash says that David HaMelech wanted to be... Yeah, but that's a rarity. That David HaMelech wanted to be the fourth Av. He wanted to be the fourth of the Avos. It would be Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and David. The famous line would be that Yitzchak Avinu is the meal of Friday night, Avram Avinu is Shabbos morning, Yaakov Avinu is Shalosh Shudis, right? David HaMelech is Moab HaMalka. We have that. But Moab HaMalka would have been part of Shabbos, and it would have been a 36-hour day of Shabbos.
Eat Shalosh Shudis. I mean, come on, you got to...
It would have been awesome. Yeah. Yeah, it would be awesome. We'd be fatter. We don't can't wait on Shabbos, but yeah.
Because the Avos, we all came, like, biologically. David HaMelech already would not be an Av.
The deeper explanation is that David HaMelech knew that he was a Gilgal of Esau, and that he knew that the same way Esau was born red and fully born, fully formed, and whatever it was, so too was David HaMelech in the same way. And that he knew he had the ability to be that fourth Av. That he had that ability. So although he wasn't, Esau would have married Leah, and David and Yaakov, you know, would have married Rachel, and they would have had six kids each, and each one of them, I don't know, would have been with Bilhah and Zilpah. Somehow that would have survived and that would have been there. David HaMelech felt that he was that tikkun, so to speak, that he was the tikkun that could be there for Esau to be able to be the fourth Av. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, the three Avos had nisyonos, and I didn't tell them what the nisyon was, and they all passed it. Right? Each one had a different nisyon.
Why wouldn't Yosef be?
Yosef Tzadik did not. He did not pass whatever nisyon it was that he had to take.
What nisyon? And Yosef, the Gemara talks about how he was like the
obviously the greatest of the great. But whatever nisyon it was that he had to take, he either didn't have it, or he didn't pass.
Well, wait, no. Who says that there was necessarily that he didn't have it and pass it? It could be that he just not being an Av was not his option. So we have this like on
agreed. But that's the definition. That is the definition. You can only be an Av if you have this nisayon
and pass. In the history of all the millions of Jews, if somebody passed and then he's an Av. So here, anybody could become an Av.
I think there would be more to it, but you won't get that nisayon. You won't get it unless you're already an Av. And that's why the Gemara Bracha says at the end of the first parak, the Avos are only three. There's no other than the three. So David Melech wanted it. And that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to David Melech, you're going to have an Nisayon, and I'll give it to you, and I'll even tell you what it is, and you'll still fail it. What was the Nisayon of David Melech? Inner eyes. That was the Nisayon that he had. And to that, David Melech was tested and did not pass the test he was supposed to have. So he said, B'chanini Hashem, probe me, look into me, v'nafeini, and try me. So Rufa Chol Yosai V'Livi, there is purity behind my innards and my heart and everything I did. Everything I did had all, I did everything perfectly l'shem Shemayim, so to speak. I see your chesed in front of my eyes, v'yisalakti b'amitecha, and I walked in your truth. So don't think that I'm taking it for granted that I deserve something instead. I still know that it's your chesed. Nonetheless, I know that I've done tremendous things. That's the idea behind it. Well, another mashal. Father told his son that he'd give him 2 gold coins for every daf of Gemara that he studied. Son studied extremely hard, and the father ended up giving him 4 gold coins. So what did the son do? The next time the father told it to him, he didn't study at all. He said, I'm getting 2 gold coins anyway. If I don't study, then I'll make 2 gold coins no matter what. Right? So the father said to him, I only give you 4 because of how hard you worked on that first daf. I didn't give it to you for free. It was because of that. That's the idea behind it. Dabanel said, since I got everything out of chesed, I will strive to be worthy of this kindness to do even more. I did not sit with people who talk of falsehoods. In Alam and Lo'abo, I never dealt with hypocrites. The hypocrite, they say, is the camel. You know, this is one of the 4 animals that have one and not the other, right? It has the camel chews its cud, but doesn't have split hooves. In a way, the camel is worse than the horse. The horse doesn't have split hooves and doesn't chew its cud, but the camel does one and not the other. It's a hypocrite. You have one part, but you don't have the other. So to speak, that's worse in a certain way than others. So said David Melech, I didn't hang out with bad friends and still learn Torah. I learned Torah and stayed away from other people. I did both. I was Sur Meira and Aseto, but I wasn't one without the other. Plus, okay, Senei Tzikal Mareim, I hated the Kahal of evil people. Yimashayim Lo Yishev, I would not sit with people that were Rishayim. I washed my hands in cleanliness, and I walked around your altar whatsoever. That means I stayed away from theft and robbery. I made sure that my hands were never filled with any bloodshed or anything like that didn't need to be shed. I guess because he was in war, he killed many, many people. But in that sense, because they'll tell us from over here in this pasuk, by the way, that you don't need to wash with water if you want to wash your hands in the morning. That if you don't have any water available, erchatz bini kayon kapoy, you can wash your hands with anything that cleanses it. Meaning, it could even be with wood. It could even be whatever it is. That doesn't mean, you know how people like go like that, like wash their hands. That doesn't count. You have to like rub them down as if they're filled with water, so to speak. But that does work. I'm sorry. If we're dealing with tumah as opposed to dirtiness, you know, physical dirtiness.
Tumah, you really need to, like, you know, do with a prescription.
And that way, if you don't have water, you don't have water. That's what we learn from this pasuk. There is a rechitza of your hands with nikayon, just out of cleanliness. So it could even be with just that. Last year, you have a kol todah. That for sure was. That almost might be like water. Remember, it really depends. If you can use it, if you can use it on Shabbos, that might have the status of water. I wouldn't be able to cover it up. If it's too viscous.
Less viscous than soap.
But if it's too viscous, if you have a certain soap that is viscous, right, then you have an issue. This stuff is good, you know, the little Equaline stuff that they have in the back of Purell almost always can be that way. So remember, I first was here and he was telling us how he didn't like using, you know, the soaps that you have for a Shabbos. He doesn't like using it. I brought this thing right at first, and I brought the whole thing, and I showed it to him, and I'm like, and I showed him, like, it goes up and down. There is no question. It's very liquidy. I said, okay, I'm not sure that. Right, so he liked that, but he didn't like the other soaps.
There's shows like, where's the soap?
Can I tell you, there was a person, I don't want to say who, but there was a girl who ate by her house, and she came out of the bathroom and she told us, she's like, I just want you to know, you didn't put in water into your soap in the bathroom, so I poured some water in it for you and mixed it in so that you can use it on Shabbos. So I said, I totally appreciate it, and I totally understand why you did that. I just want you to know, if it's not me, I don't want you to do that anywhere else. She was like literally a right off the boat Balas Tshuva. Right now she's a great tzaddik. She is. She's married to a great guy. She's a great tzaddik. She's learning the Eretz Yisrael. But I couldn't believe it. I was so. I'm sure. It was so funny. And I couldn't stop laughing. And I felt so bad. I'm like, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you. I couldn't stop. It's not like I'm laughing with you. You'll know what I mean 5 years from now. You'll look back and you'll be like,
did you ever ask?
what?
You ever, like,
I, mean, I want to...
No, I see her all the time. I still know her, yeah.
I want to invite her and then just put a bar of soap there.
And rub it. Just rub it.
Like, look at me. I'm using a bar of soap.
She might kill you.
She might steal it.
She'll definitely give you off straw beforehand.
She's not a coach.
Lashmiya b'kol todah. L'safer kol niflo sechol. That, Lashmiya b'kol todah, so that I can tell my voice. I would let my voice be heard in Thanksgiving. L'safer kol niflo sechol. And tell over all of your wonders. Hashem ha'afim o'm b'secha. I love your abode, the place where your house is. Again, remember, it's Dovid HaMelech. There is no Beis HaMikdash yet. O'mekol mishkan kodecha, the place of your glory, in the Mishkan itself. Al tesev o'chatoyim nashi. Do not let my soul be gathered in with sinners. Im anshi damim chayoy. Together with the people of blood, right? I don't want my life to be with them. Here, it seems that this is a line of burial. That when I'm buried, I don't want to be buried next to people that are sinners or bloodshed. Even though for us, it doesn't make any sense to us. What difference does it make? A dead person is a dead person. Apparently, there is a hakvada on where and what you're buried as if you're buried next to someone. That's why they have different sections in the cemetery for people that are tzaddikim or shayim, etc.
Within the years, the problem of the person dying.
What do you mean? Within within that year itself, because their soul is still there. You're right.
Within the year of what?
Within the first year before the person rots, so to speak, the neshama is still connected to the body.
Right.
So there is something there that connects them. So that first year, there might be a hakvada, just simply put, their neighbors, what they can do. There are stories in the Sefer HaChassidim of people coming back from the dead in dreams, telling people, you have to move me, I can't be in this spot. That's brought down in the Sefer HaChassidim. Their hands are filled with craftiness. Their right hand is filled with bribery. But I went with my integrity. Redeem me and allow me to have favor. My feet stood up straight. And among the other congregations, I bless you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't remember what that pasuk is referring to. Oh, that stinks. I totally forgot. Right. We learn from this pasuk that if a person has lived most of the years of his life and has not sinned, he will no longer sin. As it says, Ragli Amda B'Mishor. If you were able to keep your feet from Mishor, then you don't have to worry and everything will be there. However, you don't know how long you're going to live. So obviously at any point, you always have to worry, maybe I'm going to live longer and you're not there. That's always going to be a problem whatsoever, problem when you deal with that. That's one of the reasons why, who was it? Give me a second. It was the poor person, Rabbi Elazar ben Hadas. In the Gemara in Tanis, Rabbi Elazar ben Hadas said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, he was so poor, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu for money, and in a dream, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, right, you want me to turn over the entire world, and maybe you'll be born in a different mazel, and you'll be able to have money, right? So Rabbi Elazar said, Kulei Gulai, you're going to turn the entire world, and you can't guarantee me that I'll be born in some, you know, another time? He said, how long have I lived? Have I lived longer than I will live, or am I going to live longer than I already have lived? And he said, you've already lived longer than you will live. He said, then keep it as is. I lived halfway through my life, okay, according to the Mefarshim, that means that I'm not worried about sinning from that point on. You have to be very careful with that, but that's that. That is that. What else do we have over here? This also represents the cup, the Kosho Bracha, which Dovid HaMelech is going to make a bracha on in the future. Kosi Rivaya, that we talk about later on, what he gave over. Okay, now everybody knows this tale, and we all know this one. L'Dovid Hashem Ori V'Yishi Mimira. To Dovid HaMelech, Hashem is my life and my salvation. From whom will I be afraid? Hashem is the strength of my life. Mimi Afkod. Who am I going to be fearful of? Right, and that's that. Now, some say that Dovid HaMelech said this while marching into battle. When going into battle and saying you're afraid of the enemies, I'm not afraid of anyone. God is with me. I don't have to worry about anything. This was his marching band to go through. And that's that. Some say that he said it at the end of his life when he couldn't go out to war anymore, and he was saying it to the people when they would go out to war. It was no longer them whatsoever. Dovid HaMelech was saying, I'm not afraid of wild animals. I'm not afraid of people. I have pachad and I have yira. Yira is awe. Pachad is fear. Both of those I have only for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't do that for anything else. The Krovalai Moraim Lechol's Bisri, when my enemies come up against me to eat my flesh. Sorry, Vai Vai Li, my enemies, my adversaries, they're coming up against me. Hema Kosh Lo follow. They trip and they fall. Right? No matter what. They stay far away from me, and even when they come close, they never come close enough. In Takana Lai Manafan, if there's a whole camp that comes against me, well, you really be, I'm still not going to be afraid. In Takum Lai Mokama, there's a huge war that comes against me. Because that. I have something to have bitachon in. I have confidence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that I know you're going to help me. There's only one request that I have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a case that I ask for every time. Allow me to be in the house of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of the days of my life. Allow me to be in a base measure, in a shul. All days of my life, Hashem, in order to see the beauty, the pleasantness of God, and to visit into his Heichel. He said, I am not worried about anything that's going to be over here. I want to be able to visit the Beis HaMikdash, see the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unfortunately, this request was never fulfilled. He was never able to see the Beis HaMikdash built in his lifetime. He was able to see the foundations, and that was it. And that's that. Another way of looking at it is, there's one request that I could have in this world, one thing that I've done, that I know I've done, and that's sitting in your Beis Medrash all the time that I possibly could. I know I have other things that I have to do, but that's that. That's the idea behind it. And he also says, I have no ulterior motives. This is what I want. I want to be able to sit and learn your Beis Medrash, and that's that. And the other line is, the Beis Hashem could not, maybe is not referring to the Beis Medrash. It could be referring to Olam Haba, after my life. That's the one request that I have the world to come by you. That's the idea behind it. Fine. There is a mushroom over here, but it's okay. I think we all get that. You hide me in a sukkah on the day of evil. Yes, you reign in the You hide me in the cover of the tent. It's through your Romani. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts me up right upon a rock itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will exalt me to make sure I'm taken care of. When I need to hide, I hide. When I need to be on top, I'm on top. Whatever I need, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with me at all times. What's up?
So what's the difference between a sukkah and an ohel?
A sukkah is protection from all sides, while an ohel is not necessarily protected on the sides, only from the top. That's what it's supposed to be. An ohel has something there, but the sukkah has the walls that are important for you. It's amazing. When the people went out to war against Sichon and Og, this is from the Rokeach. The Rokeach brings this down. When they went out to war against Sichon and Og, they fought them by sitting in tents. They went into sukkahs. One of the reasons we keep sukkahs, according to Rokeach, is not because we were in the sukkahs in the Midbar. It's because it's a commemoration of the war in the 40th year of the desert when we sat in huts and they became an extension of the Anani HaKavod. And even these huts, even when Sichon and Og would throw like Listerios, missiles at us, so to speak, you know, like large rocks and whatever it is, the sukkahs protected us. And we were protected and none of our sukkahs caved in. Said the Rokeach, in commemoration of that miracle that they lived in sukkahs in the desert fighting the war against Sichon and Og, that's why we have the mitzvah of sukkah. It's amazing. According to the Rokeach, we fought Sichon and Og in Elul and Tishrei. Those are the 2 months that we fought against them. It's amazing Kiddush. It's a tremendous Kiddush. You don't hear it anywhere else. I tell you, Rum Roshi Alav Aisi Vilos, but it's one of those things. Whenever you hear, because the Gemara asks, why do we have sukkahs? And it says, sukkahs mamish or Anani HaKavod. As they have heard of Anani HaKavod. The Rokeach is the third answer. Rokeach is a totally third answer.
Well, that is
Oh, you're right. Yeah, sukkahs mamish is a different connotation, though. Oh, if I remember, the Rokeach says that's the pshat in sukkahs mamish. Maybe it's not the Rokeach that says, somebody else says, but that's the sukkahs mamish. He says that sukkahs, but that's not pshat in the Gemara. That's when Rosh Hashanah, let my head be lifted up over all my enemies around me, and allow me to offer and send sacrifices of absolute rejoicing, so that I can sing, and I will sing again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not so sure what the difference is between a Shira and a Zemer. I've always heard that a Shira is a symphony of music, and a Zemer is an individual song, or like one instrument. I don't know how that fits in this pasuk. A Shira v'azamra l'Hashem, usually it goes up. So to say that I will sing in a symphony, and then I will have a single Zemer to Hashem, to me seems a little bit weird. That kind of defeats the purpose. Shema Hashem kol yakrevach aneni v'aneni. Listen Hashem to my voice that I call out, and you should give me schus, my favor, and answer me. To you, right, my heart has said, seek my face, right? In other words, help me. Instead, I seek your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I wanted to ask for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to come down to me. Instead, I try to move myself up to you. I try to bring myself as close to you, and that's that. That I should cleave to you in every which way. Many do not hide your face. Do not put away or throw away your servant in wrath. As Rasya Yisa, you have been my help. You have been my Ezra, my help in everything I do. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me. The God of my deliverance. difference. Allow me. And that's the idea. I don't want to have Hester Punim. Baruch Hashem, during the times of Davenel, there was no Hester Punim during those days. There might have been times where they were wondering, like when Davenel was running away from Avshalom, maybe what's going on here. But the Hester Punim that we have in Golos is not a situation. They felt closer to God than we do today. Kaviv, right, there's a line, Chazal tells us, if a man's spirit is content, that's a good sign about him. If his spirit is not content, it's a bad sign. The idea is there's a nachas ruach, right, that you feel, that means that things are going well. If you don't feel the nachas ruach, you feel trepidation, fear, something's wrong, right, that means that something is wrong. Not a kutzal was there.
Yeah. Stressed out about something, so anything is wrong deeper than the fact that you're stressed out about something that's going on.
In theory, it's that you wouldn't be stressed out if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you close to him. So yes, something else is wrong. There's something that you should be tshuva for when that happens. You know, it's obvious the things around me are stressing me out. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed those things to stress you out.
But that's the way to think about it. Also allowed their properties calming you. So then that means that God wants to take it. He gets closer to you.
I guess so. If Xanax was totally legal to take.
It is.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's over the counter.
Yeah. No, with a prescription.
Yeah, it's a prescription. Yeah, I didn't know I was a doctor. So, but I don't work in nursing homes. I don't get free drugs.
I don't get
and fill up my.
I don't get
Kiavivi my father and my mother. Yeah, it's different in the office. Kiavivi miyazavuni. My father and my mother may have forsaken me. Vashem yaseini. Vashem will provide me. And that obviously that applied to David Melech in a way that David Melech was thrown out of the house in the beginning of his life from his father, thinking that he was a mamzer, right? Thinking from what had happened, we know that matters from before. Hashem derkecha, show me ways that and lead me in an even path, not show roy, for those that lie in wait for me, those that are going to destroy me, so that I can overcome them. I'll see name and Efsarai, do not deliver me to the hands of my adversaries. Kikumbiadishekar, when they put up false edim against me, and they breathe out violence and everything they have, when they try to rob me of my time, they involve me in wars and in physical things that I don't want to get involved with, please get around everything else. I don't know what these Adishekar were though. I don't know if there's a story of Adishekar together with Dabra Melech, or he's just saying it in sort of a...
Hey, good boy, I got him.
Eight-day Sheker? What were the eight-day Sheker? The Edom Sheker, what did they say? Meaning that Doi Gadomi told Saul that he was conspiring with Achim Melech? That was against Achim Melech, not David. What was the Edus Sheker that was against Dabra Melech? It's a good call with Doi, though. But what was the Edus Sheker against
something that would show?
I was going to use the word facetiously, and I just wondered, that's one of the three words in the English language that is A-E-I-O-U-Y, all in order. Facetiously. There's two other words. The other two are weird. But facetiously is out there. That's, you should know. You're learning more than just Navi here. I actually looked it up. I was wondering. I knew there were three words. I just couldn't remember what they were. One of them was facetiously. Anyway, that's that. That's that. That's actually the breathe violence. These are the people that speak Lashon Hara. They speak Lashon Hara and they say out evil things about other people in order to cause violence. Those people, says David, if only I believed that I would see the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'eretz Chaim in the land of the living. If only I believed that that would happen. I believe that there is Olam Haba. I believe that Tzedekim would get Olam Haba, said David. I don't believe that I'm actually going to get it because I'm always worried that maybe I will sin. That's the idea behind it. Or you're hearing the words of people saying in David Malakas Raw Sefa. Nobody specific.
Right, but there were people though.
Must be. Yeah, so there were people by Shaul HaMelech himself. Okay, so now the four dots on top of over there, because that's the line. First of all, if you notice those lines, backward is obviously Elul, right? That Elul is the time. So everybody says, Lule Amato Zvi Hashem, you see the Tuv Hashem Be'eretz Chaim, that's when you should start concentrating, you start working in Elul toward Tishrei, etc. So that's how they go. But the line is like this. Did David HaMelech really believe that he wasn't going to get Olam Haba? Is that Shaykh that he wasn't going to do it?
Well, it's an interesting question because it basically negates everything he was talking about before. When he challenged God to judge him.
When he said to him, it's a good call. Right when he goes through. Above? Is that where it is? Is that where it is? The Gemara that's on this pasuk.
Brachos dalet.
Dalet.
Gemaral.
Tani Yishei Rav Yosi. Lama nakud al lule. Why are there nakudos on top of lule? Amar dalet v'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu bono sholom. Move tachani b'kol shat v'mashalim tzkar tov v'tzidikim l'asu labo. I knew you were going to pay back the tzkar tov v'tzidikim l'asu labo. Amar ini adem yishei chelo b'nei milav. I don't know if I'm going to have a chelik with them or not. Shemi yigrom ha-chet. Maybe the chet is there. So I know, and yet I don't know. So the lule is, if only I believe. I know that there are people going to get it. And if I, unless I sin, I know I'm going to get it also. But I don't know if I'm not going to sin. I'm sorry about the double negative. I might sin, and that's the reason why it's dots on top.
Yeah, but that's just, again, the whole premise of him saying, like, I should be a fourth avos, judge me because I haven't done anything wrong.
How great I am.
It's inconsistent.
He also wants this rule.
No, Shema Yigrom HaChet. He's worried about the future, not about the past. In the past, he knows. Yeah, in the past, he knows.
This is written after he's transgressed, so to speak.
Yeah. And he knows that wasn't a sin. He's not worried about that.
He did the shoe before.
He's not worried that he's going to be punished. No question. But he knew that wasn't a fate anymore. But for whatever reason, he knew. But Lule Amati, he's not worried about that. That's not what he's worried about. That's not what he's worried about. What's it?
We have like Yaakov who said that something outside in Nikola. I met, right?
Yeah.
He was scared. David Amal here is scared.
That's literally the exact Mara. Katoti is the line before it.
Yeah.
It's literally the exact same line. Shani, you're going to hate
that. What
did
you do?
Look at my head drop. Speak for yourself.
I am.
Yeah, everybody else, we're okay, right? Edward, you're okay. We don't have to worry about that, right? But for you, I don't know. Look what it says over here. I've always had the line, and I said it to my mashgiach once. I said, is it shayach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a world with 7 billion people and 6.5 billion people in it, and that every single one except for 100 people are going to Gehenna? Is that shayach? What?
I don't believe
that. That's what I said. Is that shayach? He said, yes. And I'm like, what does that mean? He's like, And I was like, that's amazing. Is that? So it isn't a good answer, but I thought about it for a while. I think it is somewhat true in a way. Everybody needs a bit of Gehenna. That doesn't mean you're going to sit in Gehenna forever. You eventually get Gan Eden, and everybody has Gan Eden. Everybody has a chelik in Olam Haba in some way. All of Yisrael have a chelik in Olam Haba, and there are Goyim that also have a chelik in Olam Haba. Some of us believe it as well. But some of us might need a little bit of Gehenna in order to get there, in order to get our full chelik. Remember, this is the line from Abdeslam, and I feel it's I never really thought about it. Gehenna is not a kapara. Gehenna is purely an onesh. Gehenna doesn't improve your soul.
It's like a purification. It's like
it's not. That's exactly. It's not a cleansing. All it is the punishments that you deserve, you get punished, and then it's done. Whatever that means in a spiritual way.
Because your soul is dirty from your affairs.
I hear what you're saying, because now it's all cleansed. But that's not the point of Gehenna. Gehenna is not the kapara that you need. Kapara can happen in this world. You don't have kapara there. Once you're there, it's already too late.
Right,
so there's like that list of that level of whatever of averos, and that the level of mitzvos. So the mitzvos are that big. You get rewarded for these. You get punished for these. It doesn't like take away or anything like that. So it's a cool idea.
Okay, the purification. You're purifying all the avera.
Let me try to explain it. I don't have the wording correctly. The way Rav Dessler puts it is not a purification. It is not a cleansing. It is purely, this is what you did, this is how you're punished, and then we'll come back and look at your soul. It's, so to speak, it's like that. Oh, that's it. Because when you go to Gan Eden, that's when the garbage is burnt off. That's what the sun taken out from the Nartik or the Shechina going upon you, that burns off all the garbage, all the schmutz and whatever it is. But the soul just needs to be punished. The schmutz is still there. It goes up Gan Eden and it's burned off. That's
when we finish the cycle, we're going to start with Zohar, and then we're going to do figure this out.
Okay, I am letting you do that because you're still Sparty. I have 4 years to go. 4 years. We'll get to that. Kaveh Hashem, Chazak Yami Sidaka, the Kaveh Hashem. Right? Hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told you this. Rabbi Raka, who lives down the block from me, I told him that when I turned 40 that night, I'm coming over to his house.
Yeah.
And I want to get him in Zohar, right? You should know, there is no one like Rabbi Raka in the world. No one. Absolutely no one like him. As in a Nevus or anything. When he drove by my house the other day and saw me outside my door, he stopped his car in the middle of the street. Stopped his car in the middle of the street, stood up, said, Shalom Rav, and then went on. There is nothing, no one like him. told him the next time I saw him, I'm like, it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me with a capital E. I feel like a piece of garbage. It's not even, it's, even if you think that it's coveted, I feel like a piece of garbage because I'm like, one of the greatest tzaddikim in Chicago thinks that I am worthy of him stopping his car. That is, it's an embarrassment. He's like, I understand how you feel.
You're really bad.
Because Imam is like this. He's mommy. There's no one like him. Kaveh Hashem, it says, hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazak B'Yamis L'Dakwa, strengthen and be courageous with your hearts, the Kaveh Hashem, and hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, it's a hope in both ways. You notice the hope and then the hope again. It's hope for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wait for everything to go well. And then when that happens, hope again. Hope that it happens the second time. That strengthens the heart and goes through, and that trust will be able to go through. Let's see if we can finish Chof Chas over here. L'David. Elech Hashem Akrai, call out to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tzur El Tech Hashem Yani, my rock. Do not be silent from me. Pentach Hashem Yemeni, and Yishal Tim Yor Debor. Because maybe you will be silent from me, but Yishal Tim Yor Debor, and I'm going to sit among those who go down to the pit itself. Do not allow me to rest. Don't allow me to have that rest in Olam Hazeh. Allow me to do everything that I need to do and work harder and harder and harder. What's this compared to? Again, a doctor visits a patient and finds that his pulse is normal. Says, I see that your illness is slackening. Soon you're going to be rid of it. Stay at home while I go to visit other patients. I'm going to come back later. But the patient says, doctor, don't leave me. Because the reason why I'm okay right now is because you've been paying constant attention to me, and that's the reason why my fever went down and why I've been feeling okay. If you leave me, my fever is going to spike again and then everything's going to go wrong. I need you to be here. I need you to be with me in order for me to continue to improve until I'm perfectly fine. That's what he tells the doctor, and that's what David HaMelech is saying. Do not go away from me. If you think I'm doing okay on my own, because probably I still need you. I still need you to keep up what I have over here. And not only that, a son of a rich man had to travel far, and at the moment of his departure, he shed many tears. Father, father, he wept. Until now, in my own home, I had everything. There was nothing I lacked. I had food, I had drink, I had clothes to wear. Who's going to take care of me from now on? What am I going to do from now on? So the father said, don't worry. Just send me a letter, and I'll give you whatever you need. Send me a letter, and I'll take care of you. That's what he told the son. So the son said, "What, Dad, what if I don't have time to write to you? What if I become so sick that I'm not able to write to you? I need you to give it to me before I even ask." And that's what David HaMelech is saying. David HaMelech is saying, there are times where I won't even be able to have the chance to daven. I need you to save me before I even have to ask you. Listen to the voice of my supplication when I daven you. And lift up my hands toward the abode of your sanctuary up there in Shemayim when I listen to you, when I daven to you. Do not draw me away together with the wicked. And with those who do evil, speak peace with all of their friends. When in actuality they have evil inside their hearts. The people that are hypocrites, they say, or flatterers. On the outside, they're like, oh, you're such a great person. On the inside, they don't mean it at all. Give them according to what they do. According to their evil plots. According to the evil of their hands, give to them Hashid Gmulan, give back all of the reward, whatever they deserve, give that back to them, pay them back according to all of their wickedness, because they do not understand the works of God, and the deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he will break them down, all of what they're trying to do, he will not allow them to build it back up, he doesn't allow them to keep applying their minds. I don't understand how the terrorists have not been successful at so many other things in life. I feel like if there's any proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of us, I mean by literally the Western world, it's that you don't hear of all the plots that should come through. I don't mean to say it this way, but like, these guys are either unbelievable fools, or the intelligence agencies are just unbelievably good, like Mission Impossible good.
That's scary.
It's unreal. It's absolutely unreal. So what I'm saying, in the way. But to me, it seems that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of them before it even starts, before they're even able to do it. And those terrorist bombings or whatever it is that happens that actually go through, unfortunately we're in Zilcha for them. But to me, it's one of the biggest miracles in the world that we don't hear more of this. That we don't hear Chas V'Shalom more of these things. Baruch Hashem Ki Shoma Kol Tam. It really boggles my mind. Boggles my mind that you can't have anything since 9/11, that they weren't able to come up with anything more than that. Does it? I mean, do you guys feel the same way? That's what I feel. Maybe it's just like, no, or just good, you know, they weren't able to succeed. How hard could it be? I just don't get how hard it could be. Baruch Hashem, can you show my cold talk?
Just something that big has got to be really hard.
I don't mean that big. I could kill 50 people. How hard could that be?
I mean, you're
in the Middle East.
You see, it's happening all over them. It's all over there. And even in Europe, it's not even that much. How does it not happen? How does it not happen? It's unreal. Listen, maybe I'm totally wrong. Maybe it's whatever.
You know, somebody said, I thought it was Boston Watching happen. How did it not happen before?
How did nobody think of it? How many baseball games, football games, and that, everything? How does no? Okay, whatever. It is. Baruch Hashem ki shama kol tachnu noi. Baruch Hashem that Hakadosh Baruch Hu listened to my prayers. Hashem uzi magini bai. Hashem is my strength and my protection, my shield. Bakach libi benazarti. My heart trusted benazarti, and I was helped by Elos libi, and I exalted Mishir al denu, and I praise Hakadosh Baruch Hu with song. Pazachas over here. Hashem olamoi umoz Yeshua's Mashiachayu. Hashem is the strength to all of them. And he's a stronghold of Yeshua. He is his anointed. And that's the idea, not to lose heart. Don't lose heart when marching in the battle. Don't always be inspired. Save your people. Bless your inheritance. Right? Be their shepherd and carry them up on high forever and ever. That they let the nations realize how high we are and how great we are, and that they know what we've done and what we've been able to do. Alright, strike guys. We'll stop with this right over here. Chav Tes and Lamed, obviously these are two talim that we say every day. Those are things that we're gonna have to not fucking do all this. Fuck that. But Lamed for sure.